The clinical information discussed on this program.
Truth is, I'm tired. Options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you?
Good morning. This is Reverend Dr. Gloria Gay, and welcome to Hearing Heart. We thank God at every thought and memory of you, and we thank God that you faithfully tune in every Wednesday morning at 11 a.m. to hear what thus saith the Lord about specific topics that impair and that concern our communities. This morning, our topic is about self-esteem, and all of us have some type of a share and an interest in self-esteem, be it high or low, no matter what the situations, it affects every single person who breathes breath. We have with us this morning a very faithful contributor and clinician, Dr. Carl Benzio from Lighthouse Network. He is the founder and executive director of Lighthouse Network, and we hear from Dr. Benzio every month, at least once a month, about something that really impacts us, and certainly he has such a wealth of knowledge and experience. Good morning, Carl.
Hey, good morning, Merry Christmas, and happy 2013 to all the listeners, and great to be with you again, Dr. Gay.
Thank you so much. We also have with us this morning Amaris Brown. She has been our co-host for the past few episodes that we have done broadcasts, and she is a counselor. She is a woman of God, and we thank God for her being with us. Good morning, Amaris.
Good morning, Dr. Gay, and good morning to everyone.
So, without any further ado, we want to move right on, and we want to talk about the issue of self-esteem. Now, Carl, we hear so much today about low self-esteem, but exactly, can you tell us exactly what do we mean when we talk about self-esteem itself?
Well, sure. Self-esteem is so important because it has such a major impact on how and why we live our lives, you know, how we go about the decisions of everyday living. And so, you know, self-esteem, there's sort of a human psychology view and there's a biblical view. So I'm just going to start out with a little bit of a basic definition. You know, self-esteem is a term we use in psychology to reflect a person's overall emotional evaluation of his worth. You know, it's a judgment of, you know, who you are, a judgment and an attitude about yourself. Self-esteem encompasses beliefs, you know, like I'm competent, I'm a good athlete, I'm worthy, and it also encompasses emotions of success, triumph, pride, or, you know, despair, embarrassment, shame. So there's an idea of a self-concept, which is what we think about ourselves, but then there's self-esteem, which sort of gives an evaluation or a value about who you are as a person, who you think you are as a person. Are you a positive? You know, do you have a positive view and evaluation of yourself? We call that good self-esteem. If there's a negative view, we call that poor self-esteem. You know, how I feel about me. Now, a lot of our, you know, self-value, the self-esteem, you know, our evaluation of ourselves is, you know, comes from, you know, who we are and what we think. But ideally, you know, what we call it is God-derived self-esteem. So we're evaluating ourselves based on God's perception of us, not our own perception of us. So there's this judgment of, you know, what our ability to handle life's challenges, to understand and solve skills, that's sort of a human functioning. But then, you know, the right to achieve happiness and to be given respect. And that's sort of where God, you know, in God's view, significantly has to come into the process. Because if we look at it just from our human viewpoint, it's just momentary. You know, our value of ourselves just goes from situation to situation. But if we're really looking at a God-derived self-esteem, well, that self-esteem is going to be enduring. It's going to be there no matter what, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the adversity. We're going to be able to move forward in those situations, have a good view of ourselves, a good, healthy, realistic view of ourselves, and move forward. And an example, you know, that listeners can relate to is David and Goliath. You know, David, his own accomplishments as a kid, I mean, he was accomplished. God, you know, grew him. He grew his relationship with God in a powerful way, communed with him regularly, was excited about his relationship with God, and God gave him opportunities to protect the sheep from bears and lions. But when it came time to combating Goliath, not only did David have a good evaluation of his human skills, but he saw his value and his worth and his power really coming from God. And so he had this God-derived self-esteem that was like through the roof. You know, it was so phenomenal that even though everybody else in the kingdom feared Goliath, you know, David just shook it off and said, no, my esteem comes from God. My empowerment comes from God. I can go and take that guy. And, you know, like, and that's really what we want to do and what we want to look at. You know, self-esteem is a predictor, meaning it predicts certain outcomes. So if we have good self-esteem, then usually positive things can happen for us. If we have poor self-esteem, negative outcomes occur, and so we, you know, we'll talk about that. But also, self-esteem is an outcome of things that happen. You know, as we evaluate our life, and again, we want to have that, you know, that godly view, that God-derived self-esteem, and not just a me-centered self-esteem, or from my own insecure evaluations, or from the world or our peers and what they think of us. So those are some basic insights about self-esteem.
Let me just ask you a couple of questions based on what you've just given us, and thank you so much for that. That was a very clear understanding of what self-esteem really is. So based on what you're saying, now you mentioned God-derived self-esteem, but everybody is not in that place of embracing a God-derived type of self-esteem. In fact, there are so many people who are disconnected from God. So would you say that self-esteem would basically at that point or at many points be a result or an outcome of our culture? There is so much that is culturally based, and our culture tends to dictate to us how we should dress, what we should look like, how much we should weigh, what's the most prevalent or the most approved or the better affirmed type of person. Our culture seems to be this heady, high-minded icon, if you will.
Starting from our very earliest child, you know, elements of our childhood, you know, we really develop that view of ourselves, you know, from those people around us, you know, what those people around us are communicating to us. You know, I call it interpreters of life. You know, those people that are around us are interpreting life for me. I mean, as a 1-year-old, 2-year-old, 4-year-old, 7-year-old, I don't really know how to interpret life. You know, if I'm on first grade and I get picked last at the dodgeball game at recess, you know, my instant view of it is I'm a loser. I'm a failure. Nobody likes me. I have no friends. I can't play dodgeball. I'm going to fail math. You know, when we go back in, I'm going to fail my test. Ideally, we have a teacher that comes alongside that says, hey, Carl, you know, you were picked last, and we're not sure why you were picked last. But right now, they felt that other people, they wanted on their team more than you. But that doesn't mean you don't have any friends. That doesn't mean you're bad at dodgeball. In fact, you might even be the best dodgeball player out there. You might be the MVP of the game. That doesn't mean you're a bad math student. That doesn't mean nobody loves you. They'll probably still invite you to birthday parties this coming weekend and those kinds. So ideally, we have people that come and interpret life for us accurately. But like you said, you know, we have a very distorted world out there. And so there's a lot of odd interpretations, you know, that kids get, oh, you're bad, you're worthless, you're never going to amount to anything, you're stupid, you're ugly, you're fat. You're, you know, and so those statements, they have significant impact on how a young kid starts to view themselves and whether they have some value and see themselves as valuable or not. And so, you know, those communications, not only do they impress upon a person, you know, some value based on the world and the world's perception of what's valuable, and we know how materialistic and me-centered that is, but then the individual develops skills or doesn't engage in things as a result of that value. So then it also almost becomes sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy that if I feel like a failure, well, I don't really want to ask that person out on a date, or I don't really want to join Boy Scouts, or I don't really want to play the flute, or I, you know, so then they feel even more like a failure because now they're not playing an instrument when other kids in seventh grade are playing an instrument, but it started because they felt like a failure because of things that were told to them back in first grade or second grade.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, so our world, you know, God is the only perfect being. So his viewpoint and his requests and his needs are perfect. Everybody else in our world, me included, and all of us on this show and all the listeners, are imperfect. So at times we're going to make imperfect evaluations of people, and we're going to ask dysfunctional things of them. And so as the individual being on the receiving end, if I take their word or their opinion or their needs or their request as perfect and I base my value on what other people, imperfect people, value, well, I'm always going to be coming up short. And so that's why really having that God-derived self-esteem, since he's perfect, has perfect understanding of who we are and what we need, and is only going to ask perfect things of us, you know, as far as the correct, healthy way of wanting to live, that's where we need to be able to base our view and have those lenses. But in this crazy world, that's very hard for us to keep that full focus all the time.
That's right. That's right. In some of the work that I have done, some of the ministry that I've done, I've worked a lot with issues of self-esteem with young people. And one of the things that comes up very often is that most people attribute self-esteem to the way that they look. So I will get someone who has obvious low self-esteem, and they will say, oh, no, but I know that I'm very good looking. You know, I don't have a problem with that. I know how good I look. And they don't tend to understand, as you mentioned, thank God for that, that self-esteem is more an evaluation of our self-worth, how we value ourselves, if we feel that we're deserving of anything. And so it's kind of a specific area, and then embrace the reality or the truth about it in order to escape the bondages of low self-esteem. Excuse me. So I think of this whole issue of God-derived self-esteem, and I think of David, King David, back in ancient days. He had seven brothers. And his brothers were very tall and very good-looking. And during that time, the culture dictated that in order for a man to be prosperous and successful, he had to be tall. He had to be impressive in stature. Well, his brothers were. But David, of course, was not. I mean, he was a good-looking guy, just like all of them were, but he was short. And what his father did, his father put all of his brothers out in the public where they could be known or seen or recognized, and then they would have an opportunity to advance. He put David in charge of the sheepfold. And during those times, shepherds were very, very ostracized and looked down upon. They were considered refuse. But it's amazing, as you mentioned, what good self-esteem David had, because his was God-derived. And we see that from the 23rd Psalm. Once Samuel came and anointed him as king, and he went out into the sheepfold, and he told the sheep, I've been your shepherd all these years, but now the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That really dictated what type of man he was on the inside, how he saw himself, and he saw himself through God's eyes. And when he went up against the giant, he went as a representative of God. He went defending the name of God because he had that great self-esteem, and it caused him to prosper, even though he wasn't tall as the culture dictated. Well, Amherst, do you have anything to add to that?
Sure. Great things that were said. You know, this is why parenting, good parenting skills is important. Because in the beginning of life, you know, as Carl mentioned, we learn attachment issues. And through those attachment styles that we have with our parents, it teaches us about ourselves. When a child interacts with their mother, father, or their caretaker, they learn who they are, their identity, according to the response of that adult. So many people are dealing with issues based on those type of relationships at an early stage. And they internalize it by the age of 3 or 4, your personality is developed, and then you move on in life, and you have these issues with people, and more so, most issues that are problems with people are always derived from self. So you have these issues with yourself, and then you carry them, and you're wondering why I'm unable to have certain things in life that I desire, or why is it that I'm not who I am supposed to be? And a lot of that is from those particular attachments. Yet the beauty in all of this, because we are in a broken world from the beginning, since Genesis, we're in a broken, distorted world. And the beauty of it, as adults, we have knowledge. And when we come to knowledge, meaning we know who God is, and his word lets us know that, you know, we're new creatures through Christ Jesus. So as we begin to learn who we are in God, we can change the order of our life. And we can begin to see ourselves as who we truly are, and that's the blessing of it.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is, most definitely. We want to take time right now for a station break. This is WEHA Gospel 88.7 FM on your radio dial, or you can log in live on the Internet at www.WEHAGOSPEL887.com.
Truth is, I'm tired.
Hi, my name is Cynthia of WEHA. The mission and vision of Gospel 88.7 is to educate and inspire our listening audience. We are a 501c3 nonprofit community-based gospel radio station that relies on the donations from corporate sponsors and faithful listeners like you. Your contributions allow us to continue providing quality programming as well as introduce new programs. For further information regarding broadcasts, advertisements, and announcements, call 609-641-8870. To make a donation, checks and money orders should be made payable to Spread the Gospel, Inc., P.O. Box 1674, Pleasantville, New Jersey, 08232. Or log on to our website at WEHAGospel887.com.
Have you considered WEHA for your announcements and broadcasts? We can be heard on 88.7 FM in Ocean County in cities like Barnegat, Long Beach Island, Manahawkin, Tuckerton, Little Egg Harbor, New Gretna, in Atlantic County, in cities like Port Republic, Smithville, Pomona, Egg Harbor Township, Northfield, Pleasantville, Absecon, Atlantic City, and on 99.9 FM in cities like Egg Harbor City, Elwood, Hamilton, and Mispah. And don't forget the World Wide Web, www.WEHAGospel887.com. For more information on broadcasts and announcements, 609-641-8870. You're only a dial away from being heard on WEHA. Gospel 88.7 WEHA. Spreading the gospel one song at a time.
Hello, everyone. It's your boy, Kirk Franklin. I'm here to announce the official nominees for the 2013 20th Annual Stellar Awards Gospel Music Radio Awards. This year we had an unprecedented number of votes, which resulted in four nominees in each category rising to the top. The nominees in our small market category are WEHA Gospel Y'all 88.7.
The nominees for small market category are WEHA Gospel 88.7 FM.
Congratulations on your EHA Stellar Award nomination. I am very, very excited about it.
Congratulations, WEHA, on your Stellar Award nomination.
Congratulations, WEHA, on your Stellar nomination. We so proud of you. Bring that Stellar home to New Jersey.
Congratulations, WEHA.
Congratulations on your 2013 Stellar Awards nomination. I am so proud of you.
So I'd like to congratulate WEHA. God bless you.
Congratulations.
I would like to congratulate WEHA.
Congratulations.
7 for 88.7. Gospel, one song at a time. By contributing $7 a month, you can assist us in faithfully broadcasting the gospel. To donate your 7 for 88.7, go to our website at www.wehagospel887.com. Or mail your check or money order payable to Spread the Gospel Incorporated, P.O. Box 1674, Pleasantville, New Jersey, 08232. Join the 7 for 88.7 movement.
We're back now. This is Reverend Dr. Gloria Gay with Hearing Hearts. And our topic today is self-esteem. We were just discussing some of the issues about how self-esteem is either derived in a high state or a low state, depending upon our culture, depending upon the our beliefs and our emotions, the things that we are taught on a regular basis. We live as we live and learn as we are told or taught. That is how we will end up living. And so if you are listening out there, if there's someone listening who has been told or taught or who has received information that they are not worthy or they're nothing, or perhaps you have heard that you will never amount to anything. These are negative emotions, someone else's feelings. Unfortunately, what we end up going through is that we embrace these things as being truth. There are so many young people today whose parents are absentee. They are just not there. So perhaps you're being raised by a grandparent, or you're being raised by a guardian, or so many times, but you haven't been able to get the response from a parent that you would love to have. And as a result of it, you have considered yourself to have no worth, to not be worth much of anything. I've come across so many broken children and teenagers who will say, I'm nothing, I'm ugly, I'm worthless. And that's because they are living that. I want you to know that the type of self-esteem that you need has got to be the God-derived self-esteem, because God knows you better